We explore unidentified phenomena from a Wisconsin angle here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This, as Congress recently held its first public hearing in decades about unidentified flying objects, or in their language, unidentified aerial phenomena. Some researchers are pushing the scientific community to take data collection seriously in this area and to seek more answers. Join in on aerial anomalies, on UFOs, conspiracy theories you want to debunk. 800-642-1234. Barnaby Jones is founder and lead investigator for the Wisconsin Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Society, seeking to research, investigate, and document aspects of the unexplained and unknown. Barnaby, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. So let's get inside your head. What drives you to try and find evidence of things that people push back and call pseudoscience, or call out our tendency for human error in what we perceive?
Well, I think it's everyone's natural instinct to want to seek out things that are unknown and, investigate things that people don't understand. It's our nature. You know, that's the definition of science. We want to seek the things that we don't understand, you know?
What was the spark that sent you on this path of exploring the unknown? What interested you?
I don't know when it really actually started. I remember back in elementary school, there was all the reports of El Chupacabra down in Mexico. And I remember doing a research paper on the sightings and the legend and stuff like that, because that was all just coming out back in the 90s and that. And I always thought, you know, it'd be really fun to go investigate Bigfoot or cryptids and other creatures and stuff like that. And it wasn't until, I did a lot of paranormal research and stuff through, you know, the years since then, but it wasn't until 2019 that myself and my mom went up to the Hidden Adventure in Upper Michigan. And it's a property that had a Bigfoot sighting on a trail camera, and they opened up the property for people to come and investigate and see like the evidence that they've collected. And after meeting Craig Salk and his wife up there, we dove into this and we started doing a lot more research, and that's how we actually started Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society.
Oh, so you were out in the woods there in Menominee on this property of the Salk family, Barb and Craig, and mm-hmm. and you know, what was that like? What were you trying to find?
Yeah, so initially he got this trail camera. He has 80 acres of hunting land up there. And they got this trail camera image of what they thought was a Bigfoot. They sent it into Finding Bigfoot, and they came out and did this episode. And
Bigfoot is the show on Animal Planet that ran for like 9 seasons, ending in 2018. Go ahead. I just wanted to put some context.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They actually came out and did an investigation. And ever since then, they'd been, you know, Craig and Barb had been inundated with people asking questions and wanting to see the property and the picture and stuff. And they don't let people investigate the property. You know, you can come out and do the tour and stuff, but our team was the first ones allowed out there to spend the night and do an investigation. And after the initial investigation, we really clicked with Craig, and we spent almost every weekend in 2020 up there on the property doing different experiments and, you know, thermal imaging, looking for heat signatures in the woods, audio recording, documenting evidence, and we captured pretty much anything and everything up there.
What did you find out? What did your investigation conclude?
We're still going. We do a YouTube series called Finding Hidden, because it's the Hidden Adventure and Hidden, and kind of based off of Finding Bigfoot, the show. And we've documented audio. We've recorded like a whoop sound of these like primates make this like whoop sound in the woods and that. And our first weekend up there, we heard these and they were only like in the morning and the afternoon. And there's no other animals in the area that would make those sounds. It's very indicative of like the Bigfoot scenario and stuff. So that was pretty exciting right away. We've also documented some stick structures on the property that have a very constructed look to them. They're interwoven and intertwined in that. Not something that would happen naturally, like it fell from a tree or something. We've also captured at least two footprints on the property, one of which we have actually cast because it was in the more like swampy area. So it was a pretty good substrate to actually get a cast of the footprint.
I'm going to reintroduce you here. Barnaby Jones, founder, lead investigator for the Wisconsin Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Society, which they research, they investigate, document aspects of the unexplained. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Barnaby, you mentioned sound, and I would imagine audio recorders factor prominently in your research toolkit. Can you tell us what you take out into the field?
Yeah, we have these little audio recorders. They're pretty nice. They have long duration, so we can let them run for all day, all night. We've actually left them out there for weeks at a time. And we use a spectrum like analyzer for the audio. And you can tell based on the frequency or the hertz of the audio, the sound level of it, like frogs and birds are in a certain level, and then other animals fall in different like volumes kind of in the spectrum. So without having to listen to the entire week's worth of audio, you can scan through it pretty quickly and visually see anomalies in the audio and focus in on them pretty quick.
And so is this EVP, electronic voice phenomena? Is that, you know, kind of these registers of inaudible communication?
No, actually, that would be more paranormal.
Is that paranormal? Okay.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Well, that actually gets us to wanting to understand then the difference between paranormal activity, anomalies, what we're talking about in the cryptid category. Can you kind of parse that out for us?
Sure, yeah. So cryptids are more the definition of cryptozoology, which is what I do. Cryptids is Latin for hidden. And zoology is the study of animals. So it's basically the study of hidden animals, which would be anything from things like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster or werewolves and dogmen and things like that, that are thought to be real. People have had sightings of them, but there's no real hard evidence aside from like some footprints and stuff like that. Whereas you also have things that are thought to be extinct. So like the thylacine or Tasmanian tiger or some of your other really endangered animals that haven't been proven to still be around. And then you have things that have been proven to be still real, like the coelacanth, which is this giant sea fish that was thought to be extinct, and they actually found it swimming off the coast of Africa. So that's pretty much encompasses all the creatures and stuff of cryptids. And then anomalies would be anything that paranormal, would be like demonology or spirits, ghosts, poltergeist activity, anything that's like paranormal, like ghosty kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then anomalies would be anything that doesn't fall into one of those two categories, like UFOs or UAPs or any of that.
What area does your society mostly focus on? Because it sounds like you have a lot of different interests.
Right. So our team, Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, is unique because we have different team members that focus in on specific areas. So each member of the team studies a certain section of those topics. For instance, I do mostly the cryptozoology and stuff. And so by doing that, when we approach any of these creatures, phenomenon, whatever, it allows us to work as a team and look at it from all angles, whether it be paranormal or cryptid or what have you. So we're getting all sides of the picture instead of just looking at it from one angle.
Multidisciplinary. Okay. Wisconsin-based investigator Barnaby Jones stays with us. Join in on Unidentified Aerial Phenomena on cryptozoology, as we've been talking about, the search for creatures rumored to exist like Bigfoot, but that has gone unrecognized by mainstream science. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Barnaby Jones here on the Ideas Network. We're zooming in now on the paranormal world and other unexplained oddities in the sky with a Wisconsin connection here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our neighbor Michigan holds its paranormal convention in August. Vendor spots are full. Supernatural VIP passes are sold out. Maybe you follow the paranormal industry or attend conferences, go on ghost tours, join in on investigations. What's getting traction? What you want to know? 800-642-1234. Wisconsin-based investigator Barnaby Jones is with us for the hour. Let's go to Jim now in Fox Point. Jim, hi. What's on your mind?
I saw something interesting last year in, actually I've got the date, it was May 15th, which was a Saturday night, and I know that because I was just getting home from the John McGivern show that he had at the Pabst Theater. I live up in Fox Point, near the northwest corner of Fox Point, and as I pulled into the driveway, about close to 10 p.m., I saw a couple of circles of light going overhead fairly slowly. I couldn't tell the height because I couldn't tell the size of the object or whatever it was. I know it wasn't spotlights because they didn't change angle or shape. And one was following the other by, I guess, maybe a mile. I at first thought that it might be C-130s on night practice because I had seen that in summertime some years back when there was a unit here and they'd follow each other that way, but there was no sound.
So no airplanes, no sound.
No airplane shape, no sound, no blinking lights that would indicate the other lights on a plane. Any explanation I tried to think of didn't quite hold up.
Well, let's bring in Barnaby to see what he might think that this could have been. Barnaby, go ahead.
How big do you say they are and what color were they?
They were kind of a slightly orange tint of yellow. So that didn't fit spotlights either, the big spotlights they sometimes used to use. And one was trailing the other. I was guessing that they were actually not at a very high altitude. Based on the clouds, they were. It turns out, at first I thought they were below the thin cloud layer, but one of them changed to more of a white color as it passed behind some clouds, and they were on the same course, going pretty much due north, and not very fast. And I thought of possibility of drones. But why would they be that completely constant in distance, one behind the other? And why would there be two drones like that flying? Possibly lit balloons, aircraft. I don't know. If they were aircraft, they would have had to be quite high and quite a large spotlight or whatever that they would be showing.
Jim, thank you. Let's get Barnaby back in here.
I don't know. That's one of the things that we investigate. You know, we don't know what these phenomenon are. We've investigated one. We had a very interesting light in the sky, kind of similar to what you saw. And it turned out that it actually was a Chinese lantern. And we went through all the testing to recreate it to see if it was a drone or to, you know, see there was no aircraft in the area and stuff. And eventually we found out that this was a Chinese lantern. But that was more of like a flickering kind of image, but I'm not sure what they are. You know, that's what we're out there to search and investigate, you know?
And do people come to you with these types of cases? How would you go about exploring what Jim had described? What does that research look like?
So a lot of people ask us, like, if we investigate UFOs or, you know, have we done anything with that? And we're currently actually this year working on a project of UFOs in Wisconsin. But, you know, when people have these sightings and that, it's really hard because, you know, if somebody says, well, I saw a UFO over my backyard, and you ask them, well, is it going to be there again tomorrow night? Did it land? Did it leave any evidence? No. Well, I mean, it's a plot on the map. And we can track those, and we can look for other witnesses that have had them and try and narrow it down to see if we can debunk what it was, if anybody saw it better. Or, you know, if we can't debunk it, you know, a lot of people see Starlink, which is the set of satellites that are for the internet and stuff right now. And it kind of sounded like that. But usually when people see Starlink, it's a series of, you know, 50 or so lights all going in an arc across the sky. And a lot of people report that as being UFOs and stuff, and it's not. Mm. But as far as like investigating that, I mean, it's a plot on the map. We can track it and follow, you know, reports of it, but there's not much else we can do unless it lands.
You're talking about looking more into UFOs in Wisconsin and Wisconsin sightings, and there are several towns in Wisconsin that claim to be the state's UFO capital. So Belleville, Dundee, Elmwood. Are there particular areas and spots you're most interested in to do UFO research?
Right. So we are going to be doing some of the festivals and stuff that they have this year. And we're looking forward to meeting a lot of the people and going out and talking to them about their sightings and reports and that. We're also going to be conducting some CE5 experiments this summer. And CE5 is Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. So what these are is a self-induced UFO encounter. So you go out to an area by yourself or with a group of people, and you do this like meditation, and you project your location and your thoughts from yourself out into the city, the state, the country, out into the universe. And you ask that if anything is out there, it can come and make contact with you. And then you show them back to where you are. So we're going to be doing a couple of these experiments this summer, a couple public ones and that are on our website. You can come out and join us. And we're going to try and get these phenomena to show themselves. And we'll have all kinds of equipment out there to track planes and satellites and rule that stuff out, as well as electromagnetic meters and radiation detectors and stuff to verify these sightings.
Barnaby Jones with us, founder, lead investigator for the Wisconsin Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Society. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Barnaby, as we talk about UFOs and paranormal activity, there's the committee of the U.S. House of Representatives holding a hearing about unidentified flying objects last month, and this was the first congressional hearing on UFOs in decades. How significant is it to have a public hearing, a public congressional discussion about, unidentified flying objects?
Well, it's huge. I mean, a couple of years ago, they had that whole online thing about raiding Area 51 and that people wanted to go out there and, you know, break in there and see what was there. And I think that opened up a lot of the people's eyes to saying, you know, a lot of people actually care about this, and your senators and Congress and stuff took it serious. And they're like, well, if all these people are willing to break into a military base, maybe it's time that we actually get answers and just tell people what's going on. So they're taking away a lot of the stigma of reporting these and talking about it. And I think that's a big step forward in just, you know, getting the information out there that people want to hear.
Do you think there is a stigma, especially for pilots who have seen something they can't explain from the cockpit?
Oh, definitely. Originally, I mean, you know, people, the military and stuff didn't want that information out. If a lot of these pilots and stuff that have come forward, you know, on record and that have said, you know, they were told you didn't see anything, don't talk about it, you know, and stuff like that. And now it's a lot more open of, well, if you see something, report it. You know, it's even in the congressional hearing, they talked about having a standard form for reporting this. Whenever an airplane lands, the pilot goes through like a post-flight checklist and stuff. And now that's actually going to be a part of that checklist, not necessarily like part of it, but as you can do it during that time. So that's big that they're encouraging people to come forward and report these sightings.
You find that it makes it more normalizing that other people are seeing things. So let's talk about it.
Definitely. Yeah. That's with all this phenomenon, you know, like with, you know, History Channel and Discovery Channel and stuff, putting out more and more shows on this stuff. It's becoming more mainstream to be able to communicate about all this phenomenon, from UAPs to UFOs to Bigfoot and paranormal. I mean, it's become very mainstream now.
Barnaby Jones with us, a Wisconsin-based investigator, runs an organization focused on the unknown and unexplained. Join in on Bigfoot, on UFOs, on the presence of loved ones who've passed. Or if you think, you know, none of this is really existing, 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the discussion with Barnaby Jones after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing paranormal activity, unexplained phenomena, oddities, this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A report published in the journal Cornell Hospitality Quarterly in 2020 estimates paranormal tourism is on the rise, a $100 million industry worldwide, but the sector lacks comprehensive revenue surveys. Join in on paranormal conferences where you travel to explore ghost stories and lore. What draws you to these activities? 800-642-1234. Barnaby Jones is lead investigator for Wisconsin Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Society with us for the hour. Let's bring in another caller. Donald is with us from Schofield. Donald, hi, go ahead.
Hi, I don't know quite how to describe this, but 30 years ago, my friend and I, we were over in Minnesota, 35 Interstate Highway, and we noticed half mile up, we were just south of Minneapolis near Burnsville, and we both just gasped as we saw in front of us this portal, for lack of a better term, that just popped up. It was at least 200 feet in, it's kind of an oval size, and it was really unexplainable. I've never seen anything like it, and we both still remember this very vividly. It lasted for about 8 to 10 seconds, and as we got close to it, it disappeared. It was as though you were looking through into a whole nother universe. It was the colors, the light. It was almost like a giant movie screen.
And Donald, it is still vivid in your memory decades later. So this happened in the early 90s, and you still can recount it today.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And my friend Darren and I, we just looked at each other, and we talked about it for the entire rest of the hour and a half ride that we had, and we still, even though we live in different states, we still talk about that. And is there any other experiences, or have you heard of this before, Barnaby?
Yeah, actually, I have heard several stories of people talking about that. A lot of the most common stuff that people may or may not be aware of is like the Skinwalker Ranch down in Utah. They have a lot of stories of these portals opening up above the ranch, and they'll see they've seen like a castle in the sky floating, and you can see like the banners and stuff waving on it and stuff. They've seen things come out of these portals, like UFOs or creatures and stuff. In Wisconsin right here, we have a couple locations that people have reported these as well, one of which being down in Burlington, Wisconsin. We did a lot of research down there, and there's stories of people going into the woods down there and coming out like a week later and thinking that no time had passed at all.
Donald, thank you for the call. We also heard from Lou in northern Wisconsin, and Lou has heard there's activity over Lake Superior, but in unidentified submersible objects, so USOs, and is wondering, are there investigations of USOs and underwater bases?
I'm not so familiar with that, like in the Wisconsin area. I know off the coast of California, there's a lot of USO reports and stuff and theories of bases under the water out there, but not so much up in this area. I'll have to look into that.
Lou, thank you for that question. Barnaby, you know, there are so many conferences now going on and these conventions. How should people, you know differentiate between legitimate conferences and and ghost tourism and other ways to make money off this industry?
Yeah, there's a lot of conferences. I mean, throughout our state, I mean, I can think of like 4, 5, 6 conferences right here in Wisconsin throughout the year. And there's a lot of paranormal tours, some pretty popular ones down towards the south and that. I guess, you know, like look at the reviews and stuff. We offer paranormal tours as well. You can find that on our website. But, you know, you got to look at the reviews and see, you know, if anybody that you know has gone to them or stuff, or reach out to somebody that's not associated with the tour itself to see if it's legitimate, I guess.
And you operated a haunted house for 7 years or so. How does that inform your investigations?
Yeah, I did. I owned a Misery Haunted House for several years, and it was in a haunted location as well. This was even prior to doing CAPS, Cryptids Anomalies in the Paranormal Society. And we had almost daily, nightly in this location activity, from seeing small ghostly children peering around walls at us, the feeling of unease, being touched, being watched, objects moving and flying across the room. I actually, my most insane encounter there, I guess you'd say, is I had a 6-foot fake tree thrown at me at the location. So,
how do you improve or get better at your investigations? Because a lot of things won't ever be solved, I would imagine.
Yeah, so we have a lot of technology, and you know, we do a YouTube series and stuff, and we want to be able to present evidence. So we look for a lot of scientific stuff. If we can't show you actual documented proof or evidence of some sort, we're never going to tell you that something is, you know, this is a picture of Bigfoot. This is what we captured, and you can decide for yourself. But we constantly look for new technologies and the understanding of how that technology works so that you can debunk certain things. The more you know about, you know, electricity and radiation and the visual light spectrum and stuff, the more it's easier to understand the stuff that you're looking at and the evidence that you're getting.
Talking with Barnaby Jones, founder, lead investigator for Wisconsin Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Society. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. We heard from John in Madison and wants to know, how do people get involved with your society? What is that like?
So we just had an open enrollment for CAPS Academy, and we do like... We teach a brand new class of investigators and stuff that have potential to join the team. We do offer paranormal tours of the Gainers Tavern. All of this information is on our website, wisconsincaps.com. You can click on public events and look everywhere we're going to be, all the conventions and stuff, and all the tours and stuff that we provide is on there. Any of our social media is Wisconsin Caps, or it's on our website. And you can reach out to us. You can report your sightings right on our website and let us know what you saw. If you have any, you know, we'll come out to people's houses if they have activity and stuff like that that they'd like documented, or, you know, try and get answers for them as well.
What is involved in going through the Academy, the CAPS Academy?
Yeah, so this is a brand new thing for us. We started this year, and basically we have to get all of our new team members up to speed with the stuff that we do and our research and that. So we decided to start filming this CAPS Academy for our YouTube series. And we're basically going through all the equipment that we use, all the research that we do, and give everybody on the team a basic understanding of, you know, our Bigfoot investigations and our other phenomenon investigations and everything. And the public is going to be able to follow along with this as we train the new members and show them how to do our stuff. And then the public can see that as well.
Let's take another call. Mark joining us from Bloomer this morning. Hi, Mark. What is on your mind?
So I work in hospice care. So I'm used to working with people who are leaving this world for whatever comes next. I was visiting with a woman who lived with dementia, and she was having some kind of a conversation with somebody who was not me, because she was totally talking to someone. And I was going to wish her well and head on my way because she was not interested in me. And then she stopped. And she turned to me and she looked me in the eyes. And the first rational thing I heard her say in the whole time I was there was, "And you know, Pastor, your dad is here too." And then she went back to talking to these people I couldn't see. And my dad's been dead for over 10 years. I don't know what that was, but I'm okay with that.
Mark, thank you for sharing that story. And Barnaby, Mark, you know, in hospice care, end of life and dementia patients, having conversations with people who have passed, what have you looked at there?
So you hear a lot of stories like that, and I don't know what to make of it. I feel like there's, you know, the veil kind of thins towards the end of the life. And, you know, it's reassuring to know that there's something there, and it's possible that your family and friends come through and, you know, talk to you and tell you it's going to be okay and help guide you to whatever comes next. We have had a lot of conversations with, you know, people and, you know, that have passed, in our opinion. And, you know, there's, My opinion is that there's definitely something after this life. I couldn't tell you what it is, and I don't know what happens, but I know that there's got to be more than what we can see and feel right now.
How have ghost hunting investigations, ghost hunting reality shows affected our perception of this area and paranormal research, and also research on having conversations with the deceased?
I think it's made it a lot more, like I said, more mainstream. You know, people are more open to the idea because of the shows that you see on TV and stuff. And I think the biggest misconception is a lot of people think that, you know, if you go on these paranormal tours, it's going to be like watching the TV show. Well, on TV, it's not scripted, but it's edited to show you the best of, you know, an entire night of investigation in a 1 hour episode. You know, our stuff, if we do an investigation, we're there for like 5 to 8 hours, and you're only going to see an hour of that on our episodes. And there's a lot of just sitting there in the dark with flashlights waiting for something to happen. So I think that's probably the biggest misconception of paranormal.
Barnaby Jones, our guide to the unexplained and unidentified phenomena. Still time to talk about spirits, about paranormal activity, what you've always wanted to know about these investigations, about the filming, about the technology. 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation now with Barnaby Jones, founded the Wisconsin Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Society. Goes by the acronym CAPS. They have the CAPS Academy. Barnaby will be presenting at the Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention Saturday in Menominee, Michigan. He's with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring on Rick now in Madison. Hi, Rick. Go ahead.
Good morning to both of you. Barnaby, I just wanted to ask you a question. I know that you work in the eastern part of the UP. I just wanted to see if you know anything about the Paulding Light north of Watersmeet.
The Paulding Light that, it I guess it appears in a valley outside Paulding, Michigan. Is that right, Barnaby?
Yeah, we actually have a whole episode on our YouTube channel going up and investigating that. We did a follow-up to that as well. We took a very high-powered telescope up there during the day and lined it up and looked down there, and it actually found out that the light that most people are seeing is actually car headlights. We did receive a lot of reports of other orbs of light that would follow and chase people down the trail and stuff there. We also had paranormal activity there. You can see that on our YouTube episode as well. We had a conversation with something right at the edge there, and we had a lot of weird things happen that night. But I'm fairly certain that the light that people are seeing is just car headlights.
Does that help, Rick?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it myself. I've seen it change colors. And there's been lots of stories. There's been, I think that National Geographic studied it for a while, like maybe in the 80s. And they came up inconclusive, but I just wanted to pick your brain on it. I've seen it myself. So I think that everything that you're saying, that it could be just car lights going up and down the ridges. But I do like the story that it's a, an old rail line and it's a train engineer with his light, but it's a very cool place. I've had some other paranormal issues up there too.
Like what? Like what's happened?
I've seen orbs, you know, camping up there, you know, certain kinds of, I guess you would say like, sounds that you wouldn't normally hear in the woods because there's not many people out there. And it definitely wasn't animals, but it's a very interesting place. So I just wanted to poke your brain about it.
Rick, thank you. Thank you for doing that. And I'm wondering, Barnaby, do people have a heightened perception, a heightened awareness where they're in an area where people have asked questions like about the Paulding Light?
Yeah, definitely. That was one of our favorite investigations to go up there. It was a lot of fun because we had, you know, so many people up there looking at the light to begin with. So we got to talk to a lot of people and we're up there conducting tests. We drove up and down the road with our, we had two vehicles and we were trying to shine headlights back and forth. And it was a very interactive experience for our whole team up there. And it's on our YouTube page and that it's under the Paulding Light. And it was very fun, fun night.
Let's go to Charles now in Cottage Grove. Charles, hi. What's on your mind?
Yes, my name is Charles. I'd like to say I'm Native American, and my experience came was about 95, 96. I used to live in Tomah, Wisconsin with my grandparents, and it was the day before hunting season. We went out shining deer. We came back to our homestead, and we're in the woods shining, and I go, and I must have been about 15, 16, and I see them, and I think they're deer, so I go run out there being a, you know, young kid, and I accidentally trip, fall over, then I must have ran out there about 50 yards, get up, there must have been about four or five of them standing in a V or U shape, but they were little people. Their eyes were about orange to a reddish glow. And growing up as Native American, you know, our grandparents says, you know, if you don't get into little people, you know, I thought it was always getting us the bad, scary stories. But after seeing that and knowing what I seen, and yeah, I want to know if you have any experience or other stories in little people in Wisconsin.
Charles, thank you. Barnaby.
I have a question. Can you describe what they actually looked like the faces? Did you see that close or no?
I fell on my stomach. I must have been less than 10, feet from them, but their faces were wrinkled. It looks like they had like longy, shaggy hair and like rag clothes, almost like buckskin, all the native, natives back in the day had almost.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We've had a couple different stories. We've had different stories of like you said, the little people, or even like, I lost my train of thought there. Goblins, and stuff like that. So I was wondering which kind of style that you saw, but, yeah, there's a lot of reports of people seeing these like little people with clothes and kind of look like Native Americans, only very small. Sometimes they carry spears and stuff too. I have not encountered anything like that. And you don't hear a lot of stories, but they're definitely out there.
Charles, thank you for sharing that. And I want to return for a moment to Bigfoot and your work there. There are some misconceptions about what people think about this creature. Can you give some more clarity here on what people are going after in Bigfoot and what they perceive of what Bigfoot is?
Right. So a lot of I'm really surprised as how many people think that Bigfoot is just one thing, like a singular entity, and it's actually a species. So there's more than one Bigfoot. So people think that they're only out in Washington. Well, that's not true. Bigfoot has actually been reported in every one of the states except for Hawaii. And the reason why is Hawaii was an island. So it came up out of the ocean. There was no land bridge connections or anything for them to get over there. A lot of people believe that Bigfoot is like a pre-humanoid species that evolved on a different lineage or stuff like that. So these are actually like a hominid or like a Neanderthal creature that's just living out in the woods. You have a lot of mythology back to the Native Americans and stuff of talking about living in peace with these creatures up until a certain point. And then the Bigfoot or Sasquatch went up into the mountains and they don't interact with them anymore.
In the last few moments we have left, can you tell us about the conference that you have this Saturday, which is regarding Bigfoot?
Yeah, so the Marinette Menominee Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention is going to be this Saturday, June 4th, from 8 until about 5 or 6 p.m. at the Riverside Golf Course in Menominee, Michigan. We have vendors and guest speakers. I will be there speaking, as well as Jay Bachochin, Sheetan Noor, Allison Jornlin, and Ken Gerhardt will be our keynote speaker.
Barnaby, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Barnaby Jones is founder and lead investigator for the Wisconsin Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Society. I want to give a special shout out and thanks to producer Steve Potter, who brought us this hour. It's his final one with us as he goes to report for PBS Wisconsin, not too far away in the Wisconsin public media orbit. So thank you so much for all your curiosity and your planning on the morning show, team. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.